How are you guys doing today? Good stuff. Well, hey, as Matt said, my name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at H2O at Bowling Green. Man, I'm excited to be with you guys today. I've been actually waiting for a long time for Matt Olszewski and Pardee to invite me to come up here. This church came from Bowling Green, and so even though we have our differences, right? I mean, I didn't hear a round of applause when he said I was from Bowling Green, so I'm assuming that there's some kind of tension between us, so that's okay. I've been excited to come up here and be with you guys. What you guys are doing is just awesome. You know, when with the H2O Network, we seek to plant churches on college campuses all around the country because we're convinced and we know that if we reach campuses, we can reach the world with the gospel, and it's awesome to see that happening here, that you guys are, I don't know if you know this, but you're wrapped up in something so special that's going on, all right, that this church is really, really a life giver to this campus, and you guys have some phenomenal pastors and leaders, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys. But one of the reasons that I'm excited is because this series, you know, we ask that question, why? You hear those people answering different questions and talking about God and all these questions that we have with why, and we're going to start to address that today. We're going to launch into this series, and I want to tell you where we're going. All right, over the next 4 weeks as you guys journey through this, I'm only going to be with you today, but as you guys journey through this series over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be kind of looking at the most commonly asked why questions when it comes to God. And for me, a little bit about me, you know, I didn't grow up in the church, called myself a Christian for the majority of my life, but had no concept of Jesus, had no concept of the gospel, the Bible, anything like that, and I had a ton of questions, though. And a lot of times these questions, they keep us from really running after God. That as I look around the world, as I look around campuses across the United States, there are a lot of people that are not fully living for God or really giving their life to God. And I think it's in large part because they still have some questions. That maybe you're sitting here right now and you still have some questions about who God is and why God does or does not do certain things. Right, and so I want to give you a kind of a little bit of vision and direction of where you guys are going to go over the next couple weeks, because here's the thing too, is we're surrounded by people that are asking these questions. Some of us are really outspoken about it, and we tweet about it, we Facebook, and let everybody know what we're thinking. Others of us, we're more reserved, but we all know people that are wrestling and asking questions. And so when you understand where we're going, this might be a good place for you to even know who might be a good person to invite and bring with you to experience some of these teachings. But next week, we're going to be talking about a question that I think really bothers people. All right, it kind of messes with your mind, and it's the question that really kind of results in questioning, does God even exist? Right, and we're going to be asking this question, why don't I always feel God's presence? Right, that some of us, we go through life, and man, I don't feel God at all. Where is God when I feel like it's just me? We're going to talk about that. The third week, you're going to be looking at this idea of why would God use someone like me, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes my self-esteem is kind of low, and I think poorly about myself, but in the midst of all the things that are wrong with me, in the midst of all my insecurities, in my jacked-up nature, all the sin in my life that I mess with, and all this stuff, why would God ever want to use someone like me? And we're going to talk about that. And then on the fourth week, we're probably going to look at one of the most, I would say, commonly asked questions, and I'll even be as broad as saying in the history of the world when it comes to a relationship with God. And I would say that most all of us have probably wrestled with this question to some extent, and it really kind of falls underneath the genre of why isn't God fair? Okay, and you hear this question asked like this is, why do bad things happen to good people? You guys have asked that question, you've heard that question, right? We kind of all feel that at times. And so if you know someone who's asking these questions, if you can think about that, you might know when is a good time to just invite them to come with you here to H2O. And so as we get into this, let me give a little bit of caveat, okay? As we go through this series, and even today as I start off talking today, you know, we're not going to be able to clearly and definitively answer all of your questions. All right, all of your life circumstances and all this stuff, we're not going to be able to address this on a Sunday. That's what our groups are for and all this stuff. But what we want to do, our goal throughout this series is to kind of give some biblical context to these questions. And so as you're sitting with your groups throughout the week, as you're with your families, as you're with your friend groups and you're hanging out and you're talking about life and these questions come up all the time, the goal is that we wouldn't just engage with these questions from our feelings, from our experiences, from other people's thoughts and all this stuff, but we would engage with these questions from what God has to say to us through his words in the Bible. And so that is the goal. And even though we can't answer all of these questions definitively, I want you to know that we know someone who can. All right, and we're going to go to him. we're going to go to God and just be real and say, regardless of where we're at in our faith, we have questions that question our faith sometimes. We're going to lay it on the table and say, here's what I'm wrestling with. Here's the questions I have. Teach me your ways. And we're going to start a conversation. And I love that about this church is that it's not just a gathering here on Sunday, but it's a family, and it's a family on mission to go into the world, to proclaim the gospel, and to take these types of questions and not just throw fire on them, but to give some answers. And this is the goal of this series. So why don't you pray with me, because we need God's help for this one. So pray with me, and we'll jump in. So Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the leadership here. Thank you that what you're doing, you're changing lives. You're changing this campus. Thank you that that's your goal in this world. And so I just ask that, man, no matter where we're at today, every single one of us, we're in a different spot when it comes to our walk with you. Man, you know the things that are going on in our heads. You know the things that are going on in our hearts. Man, would you just speak to us today? We just not leave here with more information and just not inspired, but we would leave here somehow changed, having encountered you this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's where we're at today. You see this question that we're starting off today is really, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And if you want to pull out your handout, you can take some notes and write some things down, and we're going to be going through a lot of stuff. And really, this is a question that if you've ever prayed at some point in your life, if you're a spiritual person, a person of faith, chances are at some point you ask God to do something that you knew God could do. You thought that he should do it, but he didn't do it. And if you're like me, and if you're like a lot of people, that probably rattled your faith. And you were sitting there and you were wondering, why didn't God do what I asked him to do? Right? We see this and we think about this because we read Bible verses, all right? Take a look at this. In John chapter 14, we read verses like this that makes us think that Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at this. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so maybe you read that verse and you've been told to go to these verses to encourage you and inspire you, and you think, well, I asked in the name of Jesus, and I know God could have done it, but he didn't. Why? And so many people, so many of us, we sit around and we ask that question, why? Maybe you've read the Bible, right? And you go through the Bible and you hear stories from a man like Joshua, right? If you're familiar with Joshua's story, Joshua literally prayed, all right, that the sun would stand still. And it did. I don't even know what that looks like, okay? But he prayed that the sun would stand still, and the sun stood still, right? And you're like, what the heck does that even mean? How did that happen? That's not my prayer life, right? You read people like Daniel in the lion's den, right? And you see this, that Daniel was this guy who was sentenced to death, and they threw him into a den of lions, and all of a sudden, he prayed that God would save him, and miraculously, these lions just went on a diet for a few days, and they left him alone, right? And you look at those stories, and if you're anything like me, you read the Bible, and you're like, what is going on? I see these miraculous things happening. That is just not me. Am I missing the formula? What's going on? And you sit there, and you say, huh, why? Why? Why, when I prayed, did nothing happen? Why didn't God answer my prayers? How many of you have asked that question? All right? None of you? A couple of you. Okay, that's good. So we can all just pray and then we'll have the band. No, I'm just joking. We've all asked this question if we're honest. Right? There's been things that have happened in our lives that haven't turned out the way that we thought they should. And we ask that question, why? And you know, so many times you come to the church and we talk about answered prayer stories, right? That God has done miraculous things, and we share these stories that God has answered some of your prayers in miraculous ways. And we share those stories because they're faith building. But so many times we don't tell and talk about some of the times where God doesn't answer our prayers, right? And so today what I want to do is I want to give you a couple of those. One of these is going to be kind of a not that big a deal. Another one is a lot more personal to me. But you know, one time I got asked to pray before a football game. Okay, I played football at Bowling Green. No? Okay. Worth a shot. I thought there was one of you. Okay. But I played, yeah, there we go. Okay. Played football at Bowling Green, and I coached at Perrysburg High School, just a little bit south from here. All right. And as I was coaching there, I think I was the only Christian that was part of the coaching staff. And so when anything remotely spiritual came up, they were like, oh, yeah, we got this brother named Rob. He can do it. Okay. And so they asked me to pray, and I was like, okay, I'll pray. And so I just did the standard prayer. All right. And I said, God, just give us good weather. help no one to get hurt, and help us to just glorify you in everything that we do and say. Amen. Okay? And that's what I did. It was literally one of the worst experiences of my life, okay? We went out there, and it was like a monsoon, all right? So the weather prayer didn't really work, okay? I mean, we might as well have been playing in a mud pit, okay? It was terrible. Now, because of that, a bunch of people got hurt, okay? And our star quarterback and all these things, they got season-ending injuries, and it just was not good. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this isn't going too well. And not only that, we got killed, okay? So I'm standing there on the sideline after the game, and literally the stands just erupted in a big brawl. Okay, it was just mass chaos. People were fighting. I mean, there were women in walkers coming down and like hitting people with, not really, but you know, they were angry, right? And I'm just sitting there on the sidelines. I'm like, what is happening right now? And this guy that I coached with, he came up to me. He used to give me a hard time for being a Christian. He was like, hey man, that prayer that you prayed, spot on, good job. And I was like, yeah, I know. And then he was like, where's your God now? And I was just like, it's a good question, right? And really, this is what happens when I pray. Just I haven't figured it out, I guess, you know. So nothing came to fruition that day. And I sat there and I think, why didn't God answer my prayers? Now, not a big deal at all, right? That's one of those bumps in the road that doesn't mean anything to anybody, okay? A couple people got hurt. That's not a big deal, okay? But, you know, it wasn't a big deal in the grand scheme of life, a football game. But, you know, something more, a little bit more personal for me involves one of my good friends, Aaron. And Aaron was one of my really great friends. He was a great guy. He was just, quite honestly, just a wonderful man. And on my birthday, November 3rd, 2008, I get a call from Aaron's new wife, Allie, and she called me, and she said, hey, I got some news. Aaron's been having like a lot of headaches lately and all this stuff, and he just got diagnosed with brain cancer. And I remember this because my wife and I, we were driving to go to a birthday dinner, and it just like smacked me in the face. I was like, what the heck? And she said, he's getting surgery like immediately because they need to get in there. It's not good. And so we gathered together our friends, and man, we were praying for him. We went to the hospital right before his surgery. We prayed for him during the surgery. While he was in there, we were like on our knees in the waiting room praying for him. I mean, we were just praying. And when he came out of the surgery, they told us that they couldn't get all of the tumor because of the type of tumor it was, and it was right on his brainstem, and they said it's not looking good for Aaron. And they said he's probably not going to make it through. And so, a long story short, you know, the cancer just really started destroying his body. I mean, he went down really quickly. And in the midst of this, you know, our friends, we gathered with him. I mean, we laid hands on him. We prayed for him. I mean, we did what the Bible talked about, anointing him with oil. I mean, we were fasting. We prayed hundreds of times. We brought in people, I don't even know if I believe this, that have like the spiritual gift of prayer and healing and all this stuff. And we brought him in and we just had people praying. But despite all of this, Aaron ended up dying around a year later. And I remember I was at that place of just being angry and asking that question, why? Why didn't God answer my prayer? You know, I know that he could have. I'm pretty sure that he should have. But he didn't. And you know, the reality is for many of us, you know, you have a lot going on. You're dealing with some serious stuff in your life. I mean, we have stuff going on, anxiety, depression, physical and financial needs, right? People are suffering. Injustice is happening. Death is coming. And likely there's those of us here that are here today that we've been praying for someone to be healed and to fix their life and all this stuff. And we've been praying hard and fervently and all this stuff, and it just didn't happen. Others of us, maybe you prayed for your parents to not get divorced when you were a little kid, and you just asked God, you pleaded with him, hey, God, please just keep our family together, help them to not separate, let them fall in love, all this stuff, and it just didn't happen. And your life was just radically turned because life just happened. And you end up asking that question, why? And so what I want to do today is kind of address this. I want to talk about some of the possible reasons why God didn't answer all of our prayers. All right, and so four potential answers that we see throughout the Bible of why God didn't answer our prayers. And the first one is this. You're asking why. Well, first of all, take a look at this. Is maybe you have a broken relationship. All right, that maybe you have a broken relationship. And you hear that and you're thinking, what do my relationships have to do with my prayers? And I want to show you something that's significant and might be a paradigm shift for you. But what we see going on throughout Scripture in different stories is that the horizontal, our horizontal relationships really impact our vertical relationship. And so what that means is our horizontal relationships with people, there seems to be some connection on how that impacts our vertical relationship with God. And we really need to hear this and understand this, because I think there's a rich theological truth that we're going to find here. And so what we see is we see Jesus making comments, okay? In Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, you'll see this. Jesus is saying, and he's talking to us, he says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer," all right? So there he's saying, this is the topic that he's talking about. He's talking about the issue and the subject of prayer. He says, "Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive." All right, so there's this idea of forgiveness. "If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." And we read that, and we're just kind of forced to take this stance of like, okay, hold on, let's put the brakes on. What is happening here? Because Jesus is talking about you praying, and then all of a sudden he says, if you have a horizontal relationship that is not right, stop, let's deal with that first, and then keep praying. All right, and so what God shows us here is that your horizontal relationships very much have an impact on your vertical relationship with God. Even more, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, all right, you'll see this come up. There, Jesus, he's saying that if you are coming to the altar, all right, if you're coming before God and you're in this place that you're going to worship God to give your gift, he says, before you come to the altar, if you remember that you have some type of broken relationship with someone around you, and you remember that as you're coming to the altar to approach God, to talk to him, Jesus says, before you do that, go and find that person. Fix that broken relationship, and then come back and give your gift in worship. And guys, here's the significant part. This all points to the reality that our horizontal relationships somehow affect and impact our vertical relationship. And I honestly, I'll be real with you, I don't know how much. I can't say to what degree and what level of anger is going to affect your vertical relationship. Like if you're like, man, I work with this guy and he's kind of a jerk and I kind of hate him, but not too bad. Is that going to affect my prayers? I don't know, okay? I don't know the scale, right? I don't think they have one. If you found one on Google, send it my way, okay? I just don't know what the scale is. But I do know this, is the Bible seems to point to a reality that in some way or another, the way that we treat people, our horizontal relationship will affect our prayer life. And so we ask that question, why didn't God answer my prayers? Well, maybe it's because you have a broken relationship with somebody. Now, here's what I'll say also with broken relationships. In addition to a possible broken human relationship, maybe you have a broken relationship with God himself. I mean, think about that. Maybe you don't even have a relationship with God. Maybe that's my story, right? Maybe you've played church, maybe you've grown up in a Christian home and the faith has been assumed, but you've never had a relationship with Jesus. But you talk to him, you pray to him, you ask him for things. And maybe that relationship, that brokenness, is what needs fixed. Because here's the reality of as we all stand here. As we all stand, we exist separated from God on our own. The relationship is broken. All right, and this is a direct result of sin coming in our world, right? And we all have understandings of sin, but sin is just anything and everything that's in opposition to who God is and what God says. And so the nature of sin is that sin separates us from each other, and it separates us from God. And on our own, we exist separated from God. And God, he has no obligation to answer the prayers of those who have no relationship with him. And sometimes we get that confused. And although he's aware of all these prayers, and sometimes out of the great love that he has for you just because of who you are, he created you, he loves you, sometimes he answers those prayers, but he does not promise to hear and answer the prayers of people who do not believe in him, as he does with the prayers of Christians. And so what we see is that when we put our faith in Jesus, that sin issue that separates us, Jesus, he takes our sin, he becomes our mediator. He takes that sin and he brings us to God. And this is, in fact, what makes our prayers effective. Look what the Apostle Paul says. All right, he says this in 1 Timothy. He says that Jesus is the mediator between God and men. All right, that Jesus, he not only brings us to God and brings us to salvation and guarantees us heaven and the escape of hell, he does all that stuff, but he's also the one who makes our prayers effective. And so maybe you have some work to do on your relationships. Maybe you have some brokenness with human relationships all around you that need your attention and need to be reconciled. Or maybe today is the day that you come to Jesus and you finally fix that separation and that broken relationship with God. And man, that is my prayer for you today, that man, this is the whole reason why I come and I preach the Bible and do all this stuff, because that is the prime message of the Bible, that we would come to Jesus, that we would be reconciled, he would be our mediator, that God would hear us, we would have a relationship with him. So that's number one. The second possible reason is this, is that maybe you have the wrong motives. All right, take a look at this. We have the wrong motives. In James chapter 4, it says this, is that James is Jesus' little brother. He says, even when you ask, you don't get it because why? Your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. And this makes me think, I was behind a lady at a gas station not too long ago, okay? And she was buying a lottery ticket or a handful of them or whatever. Those people always annoy me because I'm always in a hurry and they have to get out. So if you do that, sorry, but that's true, okay? But I'm getting there and she's standing there at the counter and she's got her lottery tickets and she's like, Jesus, come on, in the name of Jesus, give me a winner. Pick three, come on, Jesus, I'm going to give half away. And I just couldn't help but, I was like, kind of funny, but kind of sad. And I was like, she's weird. And then I started thinking about what we just read with James, right? I mean, I was thinking, man, are you really praying with the right motives right now? I mean, does Jesus really care about your scratch and your pick three lottery ticket? Maybe, I don't know. But we see this, is motives are a big thing. Even in the Bible, right, you see this, that there were a group of people called the Pharisees, right, which were religious teachers in Jesus' day. They would do this. They would have these bad motives all the time. And what they would do is they would stand out on the streets and they would just pray on the street corners for everyone to see, right? And they would just sit there and they would just, I can't even picture what they would do, but they would just put their hands up in the air and they're Jesus and they would just pray. And they would pray loud and they would just pray just for long amounts of time, and all for the sake of people looking at them. And people would look at them and they'd be like, man, they're really spiritual. They got their stuff together. And that's what they cared about. When they prayed, all they cared about was when people were looking at them. They didn't care about communicating with God, that their motives were off. And so today, we don't really see a whole lot of people doing that. I don't know about on campus here. I don't see that, but people standing out in the courtyard just praying real loud. Maybe that happens. We don't see that a whole lot. But what I do see is I do see a lot of people, a lot of us, I'll lump myself in there, praying with selfish motives and for really selfish things. Okay, so one of my jobs as a pastor, all right, and really just even as a Christian, is I hang out with a lot of guys and disciple a lot of guys. And I see them do this stuff all the time. All right, sometimes they pray for really self-centered, wrong motive prayers, especially, all right, some of you guys are going to be like, oh crap, he knows me. Especially when they're looking for a Christian girl to date, okay? And so you're like, man, I'm looking for a really cute girl. I need to find her. And they start praying. And some of these guys, okay, they don't know any girls that'll go out with them. And so I'm sitting with them, and they're just like, I'm going to pick the hottest non-Christian girl, and I'm just going to pray for them, right? And I sit there, and I've been with them, and they start praying for them. They're like, Jesus, just let them come to know you so I can know them, right? And I'm like, and they're praying this, and they're like, in Jesus' name. And I'm like, huh. I mean, that's one way to do it, okay? That's interesting. And then they go, and then they're like, okay, amen. And they get up, and they go talk to that girl, and they're like, hey, girl, you want to know about Jesus? And they're like, get away from me, you freak, right? And that guy is just like, what happened? I prayed, right? Why didn't God answer my prayers? And so we see this, okay? I see this all the time. But maybe you're praying with the wrong motives, all right? That guy praying for the girl to come to Jesus. True story, actually, okay? That's nothing wrong with praying for that girl to come to Jesus, but his motive was so that he could have her, so not that God could have her. And so maybe you say, you know, when I pray, my motives are right and pure, right? I really check myself on that. I have right motives, right? You say, I'm praying for my football team to win because I got $100 on the line, and if I don't win, I'm not going to be able to pay rent, right? Your motives are pure, right? The point is, guys, sometimes we aren't clear on what our motives actually are, right? That they could be wrong and we don't know. And again, I'm not here to judge motives or anything like that, and I can't even do that, but God can. All right, look at Proverbs 16. This is what he says to us. He says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. And so you ask that question, why didn't God answer my prayer? Maybe it's because you have a broken relationship. Maybe you're asking with the wrong motives. And the third thing is this, is maybe you don't believe God will do it. I mean, you might not. Maybe as you pray, you don't really believe that God is going to answer your prayers or that prayer even makes a difference. And I want to be really careful in dealing with this because I need to be, but I think we can tease out a few really important theological things. And I'm going to look at Mark chapter 9, okay? And this is really important, okay? This story in Mark 9 is a story about a dad who has a son who's possessed by an evil spirit, okay? And you read that, any of you guys who have kids, I have a little girl named Lily. She fell and hit her head yesterday, and that was bad enough. I can't imagine, like, paranormal activity being played out in my house, okay? So this is, like, a serious thing. It's intense, okay? He's messed up, and he's saying, man, I would do anything, right? I would do anything for this girl to be better, for this kid to be better. And so Jesus, he comes around, and the dad says, hey, Jesus, if you can do something. And look what happens in Mark 9. The guy says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That word if is a big one, all right? And we see that Jesus, I don't know exactly what was going on in Jesus' head, but it's almost like he got offended or mad or something. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Jesus says that everything is possible for him who believes. Now, I want to say this, and I want to be really careful here, all right? But your faith matters when you pray, all right? It really does. Over and over again throughout the Bible, we see Jesus says it was done to them according to what? Their faith, right? He says it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. Your faith matters when we talk about prayer. The challenge here, though, is that many Christians don't really believe that God will do anything when they pray. Maybe you've heard this story. I don't even know if this story is true. I've heard it before. I looked it up online and whatever. It's true, I guess. But there was this little podunk town in the south, and there was this pastor there with a church and all this stuff, and all of a sudden some guy came into town, and he wanted to start a bar, all right? And I guess in the south, you get all worked up about alcohol, and they're like, we can't have a bar here, okay? And so the pastor gets together his church and says, we got to pray, all right? Well, there's no way we can't let alcohol get in this town or what. I don't even know what's going on. But this pastor and the church, they come together, and they start praying. And they're praying for this guy's business to just fail and for the bar to shut down and all this stuff. And the bar owner knows that they're doing this, and he's like, whatever, they're weird, okay? And so he keeps on going. They get ready for the grand opening. The night before the grand opening of the bar, there's a bad thunderstorm, and lightning strikes the bar and burns it down. All right, and the bar owner is just ticked. And the first thing he says is, those stinking Christians, they did it. They prayed to their God, and they burnt down my building, right? And so he sues the pastor and takes him to court, and he gets before the judge, and he is like, hey, here's the deal. I built this building. It was great. They prayed that their God would destroy my business, and they literally did it, all right? They struck it with lightning, and it burnt down, and he needs to pay for it, right? And the pastor's like, oh, easy guy, okay? All we did was just pray a little bit, all right? We didn't even do anything. All we did was pray, and the judge was sitting there. He's like, I really don't believe what I'm seeing right here. I have a bar owner who does not care about Jesus at all, that recognizes the power of prayer, and a pastor who loves Jesus who doesn't. And we see this. We see this in our culture, and we see this in our own lives. You know, how often do we as Christians, we say, you know, we believe in the power of prayer, but we don't really believe. And I think this comes out in our language, right? The way that we talk about it. When bad stuff happens to us, we say, man, I have literally done everything I could possibly do. I can't think of anything else to do. I guess I'll just pray about it. Right? Really, it's been that bad that the only thing left for you to do is pray. Right? It kind of tells us what we think about prayer. That maybe we don't really believe in the power of prayer. Now, here's what I'm not saying, okay? In the Christian world, there's some churches and some church leaders that teach this. Maybe you've heard this if you've grown up in the church. Take a look at this. It's the name it and claim it theology. Okay? And really what this means, this teaching says that if you just say the words and believe with enough faith, then God's got to do whatever you say. All right? So if you take it back to my guys, if you're a single guy and you see a cute girl walking by, all you got to do is name her and claim her in the name of Jesus, and God's going to give her to you. Right? And you look at and you think, like, that's weird. People really believe that? Yes, people really believe that. Churches teach this, actually. All right? And really, we just get this context of like, man, if I just have enough faith, that God's got to do it. But let me just change your view of prayer a little bit. Let me hear this. God is not your cosmic sugar daddy. Okay? He's just not. All right? It's just not the way that it works. All right? He's not that. And this type of theology can get us all messed up in thinking about God and each other and really can hurt people. I'll give you an example. My wife, she would come up and she would drive up. There was a group of women, like five or six women, older ladies, godly women, that would mentor her and disciple her, and she would come and she would hang out with them for a Bible study. I mean, great godly woman. And one time they asked, Lisa, how you doing? And Lisa said, hey, I'm having some stomach pains. And at the time, she was having some intestinal things, and her stomach was just really in a bad spot and just hurting her all the time. It was like this chronic pain. And these women, and she asked them, can you just pray for me? And so these women start praying for her, and this went on for a couple weeks, like 4 or 5 weeks, and they kept praying for her every week that she would see them. And eventually, on like the 5th week, they asked her, hey, Lisa, how's the stomach? Is it feeling better? And she was like, no, actually, I think it's getting worse. She's like, I just need you to keep praying. And they stopped her, and they said, hey, what's going on right now? She was like, what do you mean? My stomach hurts? And she's like, they're like, no, there's something going on with you. Do you not believe, do you not have enough faith in God? She's like, no, I love Jesus, right? And they're like, well, do you have some, you must have some sin in your life then. There's some sin in your life that's keeping you from God, and that's why he's not answering your prayer. And they kept telling her that. And they told her that day, and she got in the car, and she got on the phone, and she was like crying. She's like, they said I have sin. Do I have sin? And I was like, okay. Some old ladies are about to get a beat down, right? I'm not above that. Don't call my wife sinner, okay? But this is it, right? And she was hurt. And people have this idea that this is how prayer works. And it's just not. And so here's what I'll say to you, okay? And I want to be really clear. It's like this. Is that, man, your faith does matter. All right, but just because you have a whole lot of faith doesn't mean that God's got to do it. But at the same time, I want you to know this, that it does matter. And I don't understand the nuances of this, but maybe God didn't answer your prayer because you really didn't think he could. All right, James 1, Jesus' little brother, he says this, all right, speaking about asking for wisdom, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything. Look at receive anything from the Lord. So why didn't God answer my prayer? Well, maybe your relationships are not quite where they need to be. They need some work. Maybe your motives aren't quite pure, and you need to check that. Or maybe you really didn't have the faith that God would do it. And so likely you're probably going through the checklist, right? We all have a prayer in our mind and saying like, okay, I'm going through the checklist of that prayer that God didn't answer. And I feel like my relationships were good for what I knew. I think my motives were pure. And I really did think God could do it, but he just didn't. And so you're sitting there right now thinking, okay, well, what now? Why? That big why question. And here it is. This is the 4th reason, is that maybe God had something different. And this is where the rubber meets the road and people get really upset. All right? Because I want you to know that God's will matters more than our own personal will. And even though we might think we know best, and even though we might think in our mind that we know what should happen, right, I want you to know that God's will matters, and his purpose and his plan are actually better than what we can know. And we can have confidence in this. And guys, when we understand this, this will radically change the way that you view God. This will radically change the way that you view prayer. Look at this, all right? Jesus' best friend John in 1 John 5 says this. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. So if you are a Christian, right, you can have confidence in approaching God through prayer. I want you to know that. You can. This is the confidence that you have. He says that if we ask of anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. I love this. Guys, that we can have confidence in praying to God. And what this means is this, is that we can have confidence to know that if we're coming before God and we're asking for something outside of his will, even if we think it's the best, right, we can have confidence to know that God loves us so much and that he's got a perfect plan that he's not going to give it to us. Right? That sometimes, guys, you watch those horse races, we have like blinders on. We see tunnel vision in life. We see right, what's right in front of us, and we can say, man, I know what I need. I know what I need. I need this right here. God sees the whole picture. And we can have confidence in knowing that he loves us so much that he's not just going to give us what we... I mean, it's like my daughter. She's almost two, right? And she asks for, like, knives all the time, right? Give me metal so I can stick it in the electrical outlet. No, right? I'm not going to do that. But, Dad, I want to. And she thinks I'm destroying her life, right? No, I love her that much. It's the same thing when it comes to God. This is huge. This is absolutely imperative and essential that we know this. And we see this in the New Testament. You guys may have heard of the Apostle Paul, this big figure in the Christian faith, in the history of the church, right? Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He started church planting, right? He was killed for his faith in Jesus. Right? I think if there's anybody in the history of the world that God should have answered every single one of his prayers, it probably should have been the Apostle Paul. But what we see, you read his story, read this story sometime in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, the Apostle Paul, you see that he had what he called a thorn in his side. And theologians, they argue about what that is. We don't really even know what it is, but what we do know is that it bothered Paul in a very significant way. And the reason that we know this is that Paul says that he pleaded with the Lord 3 times to get rid of it. And what that means is that over and over and over again, he prayed and he begged God to take that thorn away. And he prayed all that time. And while he did this, God didn't do what Paul knew that he could do. And God didn't do what Paul thought he could do. God did not take that thorn from his side. Instead, God did something different that was not part of Paul's plan. It wasn't what Paul imagined should happen. But God, in his sovereignty and his love for Paul, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I want to teach you that my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. And in this, God allowed Paul to go through something that produced him into the type of man that changed the world. So important. And I know, I'm pretty positive, that Paul would have liked that answer to be different. But God had something different. And let me give you an example. If I go back to my friend Aaron, who died of brain cancer, you know, not too long ago, we came across some pictures of Aaron and I, and she asked me, would you want to have Aaron back? And at first, like, my knee-jerk reaction was like, absolutely, dude, I miss that kid. He was so weird. He looked kind of like Harry Potter, so I like to tease him a little bit, but he was an awesome kid. And I was like, yes, I would want him back. And then I started thinking that, man, so much good came from his death. Guys, that as he died, he stayed so strong in his faith that he suffered so well. And as he did this and he died, people were changed. A lot of people. And I had the privilege of standing up at his funeral, and he wanted me to share the gospel. And I talked about Jesus at his funeral to a bunch of his friends and family that didn't know him. And people came to know Jesus because Aaron died. And so I have this conflict in my head. Yes, I miss him. I want to be with him. But I also know that, man, so much good happened. And Aaron loved Jesus. I'm going to see him and party with him for eternity in maybe a couple years. Who knows? So no, I don't want him back. Because God had something so much different. And many people's lives were changed. And so this is what I want to tell you. What do I believe about prayer? All right? The reality is this, guys, I want you to know and walk out of here knowing that God hears and answers every single prayer. He hears and answers every single prayer. He either says yes, no, or later. He does. Now, that are his answers. But here's the thing. We need to know. The question is not, does God answer my prayers? Because he does. The question is how do I perceive and receive those answers? Because sometimes we hear no, and we're like, nope, God must not be there. Right? And we say, where's God? Where's God right now? And the reality is you just don't want to hear no. We're like my daughter. Right? We throw temper tantrums. And we act like mom and dad are terrible. Right? How do we receive and perceive those answers? Because he answers every single one of our prayers. And every time I pray, and it doesn't go the way that I want to, and it doesn't go the way that I think it should go, I think of this story, all right, in Daniel chapter 3, if you want to read this later on. Daniel chapter 3 talks about three teenage boys, all right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe if you grew up in the church, you've heard this, all right, and basically their story is they're in a land with a king that was just crazy, and this king brings these teenage boys and says, hey, I know that you have a God that you worship and love and all this stuff. I just want to tell you that I'm actually God, and I want you to denounce your God, and I want you to get on your knees and worship me. And these teenage boys, they're hearing this before the king, and they're like, nah, I'm good, right? And they say that to the king. I mean, that takes some guts. And the king says, oh, okay, let me rephrase that. I am going to burn you alive and kill you if you do not do this. And this is what they say. Listen to this. Watch this. They respond to the king, and they say, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. He's able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods. And so here's what I believe about prayer. Every time I pray to God, I believe that God can. I believe that God will, but even if he doesn't, I still believe. And this is what we need to know about prayer. When we ask those questions why, we need to know every time we pray, we believe. I believe that God can, that God can do crazy things. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it in my life and around the world and in other people's lives, that God can do it. I believe that God will, that he wants to do this, that God loves you. If you don't know that, God loves you. He wants to hear you. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. We know that he will, but even if he doesn't, we still know that he's good, and we still believe. Guys, here is the most important thing I can ever say to anybody about prayer. It's this, is that God is Father. I want you to know that. And some of us, we grew up with really bad fathers. We cannot project our view of our earthly fathers on our heavenly Father. We have a good Father who wants to bless us and take care of us, hear us, and give us good things. And he says, yes, no, or later. But it's all out of love. And as we pray, I want you to know, and as we close in worship, I want you to know that there's one prayer that I believe Jesus, he always answers, and it's help. Guys, we all need help. For those of you who are Christians here, we need help. We need God to help us to see him, to keep changing us. We need to bring our sin to him and say, I'm sorry, and we need help. For those of you who are not Christian, that relationship with God is broken. You need the help to fix it. The only way to come to Jesus or come to God is through Jesus. This is the gospel. You need help. Maybe today is the day that all of us as H2O Toledo would come before him and say, God, just help us. Help us see you. Help us love you. Help us feel you. And that's what we're going to do right now. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and then we'll close in worship. God, thanks for this church. Thanks for all that you're doing in every single one of our lives. Man, there's so much to be celebrated. There's so much to be recognized that, man, we're hurting people. We're people that have real questions. We're people that are going through some stuff. God, thank you that you're Father, that you care. God, that you really want to hear us, that you do hear us. You want to speak to us. And so I ask that even now, Holy Spirit, that as we're talking to you, as we are in your presence, that, man, that you would just reveal yourself to us, that we would have a breakthrough this morning, that, man, we would just have a shift from examining you to experiencing you, that, man, you would come real to us, that our relationship with you, we would take one more step towards you. Man, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.